Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studios. It's been a beautiful week in Cleveland so far after absolute shit weather for a long time. I've been enjoying it. How about yourself?
I haven't got a chance to enjoy it much. Just crazy work schedule and, you know, kind of winding down for a powerlifting meet coming up next weekend. So, but those two, work has been my main focus. And then, you know, just holding myself together for this meet. So I haven't really got a chance to enjoy the weather, which is frustrating, but I'm hoping to get a cigar in tonight, you know, and tomorrow. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, you know, I've been watching a fair bit of footage of what's going on in Israel and Gaza.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of thing where you see it. And one of the things I saw was a CNN crew that was literally trying to report, had to scramble and flee to get inside of a building because rockets were coming in, running back out to show, here's what this rocket did to this building, and saying, basically, we might need to run at any second.
Yeah.
I've been working with a company that's based in Israel, working with a guy who lives there. One of the other people in that company literally had to leave a meeting in a panic because he had to run to the bomb shelter.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that's like.
I can't. I mean, my daughter's childcare or babysitter, they were originally from Palestine, the Gaza Strip area, and then they ended up fleeing to Jordan and eventually making it here to the United States. And they still have family there, and it's just rough. It's unimaginable what is going on there, and it's complicated, which is such an understatement. As to you know, the back and forth there, and it goes back, you know, it goes back just
a long time. But it goes back World War II is when things got really fucked up.
Well, post World War II, but I mean, the conflict there is goes back even longer than that, right? Like the history of the area. I mean, it's not. Yes, post World War II, what we know, I guess, the modern era of what is now Israel is just the geopolitics there is it's hard. And you know, I was out to dinner with some friends Friday night, last night, and the contingent of Palestinian people were protesting where we had gone out to dinner. And a friend of mine, she was asking kind of like, what is this all about? And she just wasn't aware of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So I explained it to her, very brief Cliff Notes version, while we were waiting. And there, it was a peaceful protest. There was a briefly tense moment where there was an overzealous police officer who almost made the situation very bad. But fortunately, there were some other police officers there with cooler heads that helped talk him down and kept the crowd calm. And it dispersed without any issue. But I mean, it was a classic example of the police making a situation that wasn't bad into a very bad one that could have gone horrible, right?
I mean, you paint the picture a little bit.
Yeah, so we were waiting, and part of the issue, I mean, so it's a big picture. So we're waiting to go in. We had a reservation for 7:30, but people there were a lot of people out with flags and various things from that represented Palestine. And they were driving around in their cars, and they were walking around in large groups.
Now, paint the picture of what Crocker Park is, because people don't know.
Oh, okay. So Crocker Park, it's like an outdoor mall, essentially. Right?
Yeah. Restaurants, retail places. Yep.
Okay. So we're waiting, but people don't want to get up and leave because there's so much traffic, there's so many cars, there's so many people. So it kind of pushes us back a little bit. So I go outside just to kind of observe what's going on. I see the group. They were across the street. We were at Leo's, which is an Italian restaurant. And then there's a Barnes & Noble right across the street. And then there was a group of people talking. And they looked like teenage kids, but they had their flags or whatever, and they knew each other. And so this one police officer who, you know, fucking G.I. Joe, charges over, starts screaming at the kids to disperse, yelling at them. And it catches the kids off guard, right? Because they're trying to figure out what they're doing that's so wrong. And then, you know, I mean, he is literally, like, screaming at them to get out of here. He's pointing all sorts of directions. And they're just like, what do we do? Why do we have to move? Like, we can stop and talk and blah, blah, blah. And so then other officers come, and they kind of calm him down. They get the kids to calm down. Everything is fine. Then some older people come. More police come. And it's essentially fine. And then, like, the police are trying to figure, the other police are trying to figure out what was going on. The kids say, hey, that guy is the one who comes over here and makes this worse than it is. And they kind of, they do turn on him. He starts to get sort of backed up against the wall. He goes for his gun. And then the other police officers really jump in. And they, that's where they keep it from blowing up, right?
Right.
Into just, you know, essentially 6 o'clock news. And it ends up dispersing and everything goes fine. And that was like the most tense moment, at least that I saw. And the rest of it was them, you know, driving around, honking their horns, waving the flag. But as to the situation going on over in Israel and in the Gaza Strip, man, it's just, you know, you've got decades of, you know, American foreign policy. Some say good, some say bad, depending on what side you're on. You know, I'll be honest, I can't pick sides, right? I can't, because on the one hand, we need Israel as a partner, right? We need Israel as a partner over there in that region of the country. You know, we need someone who that aligns with us on some level to help keep that region stable. Now, you could say it's not our job to keep that region stable. Okay, that's fine.
You could
fine.
Say that region isn't stable.
Right, and but, I mean, it's stable enough, and so we do need a partner over there and someone that we can communicate with and basically tag in and tag out as needed to deal with things there, right? So it's important that we have a good relationship with Israel, but what they're doing to the Palestinian people is really nothing short of human rights violations on a lot of different levels.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, listen, the Palestinian people aren't innocent in all this. Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they have complicated this a lot with their aggressive tactics. I mean, they're firing rockets into Israel every day
In
the residential neighborhoods. They've used, you know, children and innocent, you know, women and children and innocent people as human shields in the past. It's complicated as an understatement, right?
Sure.
And then the other issue is that Hamas is kind of the most, I guess, defined group that you can really talk to in terms of peace, but you don't want to recognize them as a governing entity, right? Because they're a terrorist organization, but the government of Palestine, quote unquote,
is now Hamas.
Well, it's now Hamas, but then if you say, all right, we're not going to talk to Hamas, and you look like you have this other sort of political party, I guess, that has some, you know, very similar issues with corruption and what they kind of, you know, who they're working with, whether it's Iran or other countries and bad actors. So, I mean, it's a complicated situation. It's incredibly sad because of the innocent lives
right.
that are lost and people that are just scared. I couldn't imagine living in a war zone. They've seen bursts, what do they call it? The Intifada, right? Is essentially what the Palestinians call, like, just the war against the Jews.
Okay.
And we've seen these bursts before, and they last for years. Like, this could be the start of a multi-year assault on that region, back and forth between the two. And I don't know what the answer or the solution is.
You know, the one thing I've heard is this is the first time that civilians have been fighting each other in the streets. So it's typically been militant groups opposing the Israeli government. This is an issue I've evolved on. I shouldn't say I've evolved on. I've changed on. Because until about 10 years ago, I would have been the most pro-Israel guy. I'm like, they're just trying to protect themselves, and these other countries are stirring the pot, and those other countries, I'm putting Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Syria, you know, there was, and I was 100% on Israel's side. Then you look at some of the things Israel's done. I mean,
yeah.
They basically use their military as their police force and things like that. So
yes.
Imagine there was a dispute between, this all started, I guess, with evicting six Palestinian families from somewhere in Gaza, and then them trying to, you know, defend themselves or fight back, or however you want to say it, and it erupted into a local civilian dispute that then immediately brings in the fucking military. So imagine a dispute in your neighborhood between, you know, local police and whatever, and the next thing you know, you've got a fucking tank in your front yard.
Right.
And I cannot imagine what that would feel like. Now, there's probably people in Ferguson, Missouri saying, welcome to my life.
Yep.
The difference is there's not people in Ferguson aren't shooting missiles at St. Louis that are.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, on the one hand, just as a Black American who is familiar with history and lives in this country, like I've seen the police and the state do shitty things to people, to myself. So I can feel empathy and sympathy for the Palestinian people, right? Like, sure. I mean, I can't in good conscience just sit there and say, oh, it's just the Israelis defending themselves, right? Because if you look into it and you recognize what's happening there, you can't help but feel, I can't at least, you know, some sort of a connection to the Palestinian people. Now, that being said, look, like I said, Hamas has done some really brutal things that make it, you know, like that you can hold up and say, right. Oh, this is what you support. No, I don't support the terrorist activities of Hamas, but it's a part of it. And you can't separate it all out. I mean, and a lot of people will just go to the, well, Israeli, you know, Israel has borders and they're just, you know, but hey, like says who? I mean, you know what I mean? Like they were just dropped there by, you know, like the British and right. We decided to prop it up. Like, I mean, like the people that were there before that, you know, the sure. Israelis were injected there. I mean, they have a say in this, right? And it's just like, well, you know, well, the Israelis have more people and they've got the better army, so they win. Okay, but and then
they have the better army because they buy weapons from us.
Right.
Which is another reason why we're on their side is they're a great trading partner when it comes to military. Right. Which,
and I don't know if we're selling them, you know, are we selling them at retail or are they getting wholesale prices?
I don't know, Steve.
That comes into play, but I mean, because there are people who will just say, well, Israel's just protecting their border, and I would do the same thing. Like, it's no different than putting up a fence in your yard or whatever to keep people out. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's just that simple, considering that the border continues to creep further and further out, and Israel's just like, well, this is ours, and this is ours, and now this is ours, and you can't stop us, and oh, U.S., you better support us, and if you don't, that's, you know.
Well, we inherited that role. So real quick version of history is post-World War II, the Brits are responsible for, like, resettling the Middle East. And they drew borders in a lot of places and fucked up pretty much everything they touched, in my opinion.
Yes.
Including Israel. And when they realized that the Jews were displaced during World War II, that was supposed to be their homeland. And when that was going terribly, the Jewish settlers is not even the right word. Blew up the King David Hotel. The Brits finally just said, enough is enough. U.S. take this over. And it's become our hot potato since then in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's not gotten better. It's been quiet at times. Now it seems to be at the hottest it's been in my memory. Maybe it's just more information and more video coming through, but it looks to me like it's the worst it's been, and it's spilling over into the streets, house to house.
Since when?
Since I've been alive.
No. I mean, the early 2000s, it was brutal there. Come on.
Well, they're shooting missiles at each other on a daily basis. If it wasn't for the Iron Dome.
Okay, but the Iron Dome is there, and that's presenting a lot, and that's part of why Hamas knows the Iron Dome is there, right? The whole point of them raining down missiles at the rate that they are. Right, like I mean, it's kind of like, well, we hope one of them gets through, but it's also
a numbers game.
But they know that it's having limited impact. But I think in terms of the like, and it's having an impact. It's having a real impact. There are things that get through, but in terms of this, isn't the worst that we've seen. Now, could it quickly turn into the worst we've seen? Sure, right? Like, I mean, I think we're only at the tip of the iceberg with this. But the late '90s and early 2000s in this region was brutal.
Well, and it's been a disaster for a long time. That We could talk about the Middle East
and how it derailed. It's just your old age. That's all that is. You just don't remember. Just Google it. It's fine.
Really? We're going to play this way today. It's going to be that kind of show. All right, there, tough guy. We can do that. Yeah, I don't. But I'm with you. I don't know what the answer is. I know that what's been tried so far has not worked. I don't know that there's a possibility of bringing the right people to negotiate.
Who are you going to bring to the table? Hamas?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Let's not leave Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the U.S. and England out of it.
You can't bring Iran to the table. We can't.
No, you can't bring them to the table, but you can't tell me they're not stirring the
horse's nest. But they can't be at the table, right? I mean, like, there's got to be somebody else. Everybody else is at the table, someone's got to have a gun to Iran's head. Like, don't.
Right. But Iran's like, what are you going to do? Well, we don't know what you're talking about. You know? Multiple countries have been stoking this fire for a long time.
Agreed.
And we've been profiting from it by selling weapons, but,
everybody, by the way. Everybody involved.
Like, not to Iran. I don't think we sold weapons to Iran.
Listen, they're getting them somehow, right?
I would guess mostly Russian and Chinese.
They're not buying them from us, but...
Right. I mean, that's... boy. What a mess. All right, let's move to something much more civil. Okay, I'm lying. The Republican Party is a fucking shit show right now.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God, it is. You don't think so?
The Republican Party is what it is, right? This is the thing that I've loved, and I've actually been excited to talk about this, because everyone's, the Republican Party is at a crossroads, and the Republican Party is a shit show, and all this stuff is going... The Republican Party is in lockstep, save for 12 people, really. You know, I mean, like, think about other people in office, right? The people in office... and the people in the DNC or the RNC, you have maybe 10 senators, maybe not even, maybe another 10 Congress people, right? That'll verbalize and say something. And I think those numbers are aggressive, right? How many senators do we have?
100.
How many congressmen do we have?
426.
Mm-hmm. So of that, you may have. You may have 15 Republicans that disagree with the whole Trump was robbed, the election was stolen, we need to fix... Like, maybe you have 15
that will
publicly verbalize and say it. See, because to me, you don't have division until you have people publicly coming out and saying, nah, I'm not about it, right? If you're just sitting there saying, I don't know, like, if you're doing a Marco Rubio... I'm just going to sit here and wait and see, like, is it going to be Trump or are we going to go back to normal? I don't know. So I'm just going to sit here with my dick in my hands. You don't fucking count. Like, you're just, like, then you're just a sheep. You're just a lemming. You're just a follower. You'll go with whatever the group is. And the group right now is going with Trump is our leader. They're literally saying Trump is the leader of our party. We do what President Trump says. Elise Stefanik said it. Kevin McCarthy has said it. Lindsey Graham has said it. The Republicans have decided that Trump is their leader. He is the leader of their party. And if you are not in lockstep with that, they are pushing you out. So you've got Liz Cheney. She gets pushed out of leadership. They're basically closing. They're trying to push out Adam Kinzinger, but they can't really touch him. So they're just not going to talk to him or about him. And I don't know. Is there another Republican that's verbalizing and saying anything?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney and the guy here, Anthony Gonzalez, former Buckeye.
Former Buckeye. Okay. Made a few great catches
this day. So we can name.
We come up with four now.
Four. So I'll say there's 15 that are verbalizing saying that there's an issue with the party. There's 15. And out of the total number of Republicans in office between the Senate and the Congress, get the fuck out of here.
How is that not a shit show? They're denying reality. A shit show.
No. Now, it may be, their platform may be not accurate or real or truthful, but they are all in sync, right? Like, they're pushing, so you've got four people that we can name that disagree with.
Insane clown posse is in sync.
Fine. I mean, but what I'm saying, like, a lot of people are saying that there's this big split, that there's this big divide.
Okay, I'm not saying
and
that.
The Republican Party has to figure out who they are, and they need to find, no. The Republic, this is their thing. This is them. This is who they are, right? Like, Liz Cheney didn't have a chance. We all knew she was out.
Yeah.
Because she said, I will do everything in my power to make sure that Donald Trump isn't reelected, right? And as soon as she did not kneel, kiss the ring, and suck Trump's dick, she was out, right? Adam Kinzinger, like, they can't really do anything to him, right? Like, but he, they're going to do everything they can to block him out, right? From Mitch McConnell to Kevin McCarthy to all, like the few people that are verbalizing, they're getting a lot of attention, as they should, but ultimately the party, the RNC, the people in the office in New York, and the party as a whole, they are all in lockstep, right? They're going to, this next, the midterm election is coming up in 22, and in 24, please understand that they're in lockstep, and their whole mission is that if they don't win, if they don't flat out win by numbers, then they're going to challenge votes, they're not going to certify elections, and they're going to do everything in their power. They're going to do the same thing they just did, but now, because of the way they've rewritten laws and rewritten the election laws and the way that they're going to gerrymander, then their attempts to steal the election then are going to be even harder to actually withstand, right? Like, so if the Democrats don't win in going away fashion in the midterms and in 2024, please understand this is going to get, like, what you saw in 2020 was nothing compared to what we're going to see in 22 and 24.
The real interesting part is going to be the primaries and the Republican Party primaries, because there's a lot of senators. So I think we would agree that there are multiple senators who stepped down because they couldn't bring themselves to spew this nonsense. And they knew, if I don't spew this nonsense, I'm going to be vilified, gotcha. Which I consider to be a gutless level of cowardice. Yeah, that in
gutless.
Disgusting. Yep. Fucking gross. I mean, I don't know how old Rob Portman is. But he stepped down, I'm saying, because he couldn't repeat this nonsense and didn't want to get ousted in a primary. To which I say, you are a fucking coward.
Yep.
I'm kind of glad you're stepping down because it gives a Democrat a better chance of winning when he's not running against, he right. or she is not running against an incumbent. But
then you see the people who are trying to replace him. It's like, oh, goddamn.
I bring up the show movie Idiocracy as often as I feel appropriate.
We've moved beyond it, though. This is actually worse than a fucking bad movie.
Yeah.
Like, an Idiocracy is a bad movie?
No, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. It's, unfortunately, it's a prognostic movie.
Right. I mean, it's...
It's a stupid film.
It's a dumb film, but right.
It's called Idiocracy.
Right. It's intentionally bad, and you would never think... Like, it was spoofing, making fun of. It's never supposed to... But yet, here we are, right? Like, I mean, anyway. I guess my whole point of this is that I want to point out that I don't think that the Republican Party... Like, the Republican Party is very aware... You know, because a lot of what you're hearing from the talking heads, whether it's CNN on Sirius Radio, is Republican Party. They need to find their identity and they need to figure out.
You are hearing that. I disagree with that. Go ahead.
They have their identity, and their identity is Donald J. Trump, right? They have decided that he is the lightning rod for them. And instead of, like, yeah, he lost the election, and yeah, he, you know, like, he didn't help with the Senate and everything else. But because he got the attention at a level that the Republicans just hadn't seen prior to, they would rather go with him and his bullshit, right, than truly reinvent themselves, truly figure out a way to touch base with more people, right, outside of, you know, middle-class white guys and whatever. And instead of doing that, they've decided that they're all in with Trump and MAGA, and that's just what they're going to do. The few people that aren't are out, but that's a very small, basically minute percentage, and they're all going with the just say whatever you want, say whatever the people want to hear, say whatever we want, essentially. And then when they call us on bullshit, we just say, screw them, they're lying, they're out to get us, they're part of the
left-wing media,
and go to OAN or Newsmax or Fox, and that's all, those are the only people that we really need to talk to. And then the rest will work itself out, because we are now in a position with these new election laws where we can just flat out steal elections and we'll be fine.
You know, we said in the past we weren't going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene for the sake of doing it, because we didn't want to give her the oxygen, and because we didn't want to do to her what was done to AOC in terms of vilifying a specific person. You want to jump to that? Or
Yeah,
because she's now a wrestling villain. She's now chasing AOC down the hall saying, you're a terrorist, why do you support terror? Literally, a congresswoman chased another congresswoman down the hall and said, why do you support terrorist organizations like Antifa and Black Lives Matter?
Yep.
Which, by the way, putting those two in the same category, pretty dumb. But also, that's fucking crazy.
I mean, she sat there, like, AOC was in her office, and she sat there and opened the mail slot and screamed at her about abortion and was just like, you need to come out and debate me now, and if you're not, you're a coward. And it just, like, again, they put her on TV, and then people tweet about it, and that's why she's doing it, right? Like, because she has literally no power in Congress because she's, you know, I mean, they've right. essentially shut her down. So now this is how she spends her time, running around, acting she's like a Ric child. Flair. Right. I actually liked Ric Flair, but I mean,
woo!
Yeah, I mean, the Nature Boy, come on. But she, yeah, but she
was
she
a is, wrestling yes, villain.
She is actually, and it's funny that you say that because they showed her antics. You know, somebody tweeted about it on Twitter, and I didn't retweet it, but I did say that, listen, that sort of behavior in any other professional setting other than the WWE gets you at minimum suspended, if not fired.
Right.
Right? Like, other than the WWE, the only place where this is acceptable, her, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the only place where her, the way she acts is acceptable right. is in fucking professional wrestling, and yet she's in fucking Congress doing this to another congresswoman. You know, like, it's unbelievable.
I didn't think of it in that context, but I'm now imagining myself going, you want to put that HVAC unit on top of the roof? Come out here and prove it to me and we'll settle this in the ring.
Right.
That's like me doing that.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine me walking into a conference room, right, someone disagreeing with something that I say and then challenging them to a fight in the middle, right? Like,
I mean, can imagine you doing that.
I mean, I would do it, but I have to restrain myself right. from doing it. But if I ever right. lost that no. restraint.
And you follow them to their office, step outside and we'll right. figure out this contract like men. And you tear your shirt off Hulk Hogan style.
Right, like, I mean, they would send security.
I'm a real American playing behind you. Right.
They would send security up to me and they would be scared shitless and they would probably tase or shoot me. Period.
And they would be right to be scared. And they'd be right to tase or shoot you.
Right, exactly. I mean, exactly. They would not be wrong for any of it. So I just...
Did you hear AOC's response?
Yes.
I used to kick out drunks like her in bars all the time. I know exactly what this person is.
Yes.
That's a brilliant line, and it's exactly...
And it's true, and the other thing she said...
I'm not sure she's a drunk, but...
She's like, look, she has some serious issues she needs to get worked out professionally, and it's beyond me to diagnose, so... You know, hopefully she gets that worked out, which, again, you know, I mean, like, what else can you say? Like, this right. person, like, you're acting in a way that is just completely unacceptable, is outside the norm. But that's, again, they all are getting Trump gave them the perfect playbook, right? Because what Trump, and specifically Trump and his legal team did, was they looked at things and they said, okay, this has never been done before, right? And people just got all up in arms, right? And I think what his legal team said was, all right, yeah, it's never been done before, but is there anything that's saying that we can't do it? And they would scour and they would scour and they would scour and they'd say, oh, no, there's nothing that says we can't do it, right? It's his unwritten code. So fuck
right.
it.
Right.
Right? Like, and they did that with so many different things, and it drove Democrats and sane people, it drove us nuts.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem is that we didn't have much of a leg to stand on because when they came back for a lot of the things, right, and people will get really pissed at me because they will, like, and it's hard to go back through and give specifics, which I would like to have laid out because people are going to get up in arms, and I know certain people are going to text, like, everything he did was illegal and wrong. Like, no, it really wasn't. There were a lot of things that they did, right, that we didn't like, that we knew the spirit and the heart of them were wrong, but legally there wasn't anything to prevent them from doing what they were doing, right? They were things that we just haven't thought of, that we haven't put into play, like, here's a perfect example. Him not showing his taxes.
Right.
Right? Like, people are beside themselves about it, but there's nothing that says he has to do it. It's just something that people have done. There's no...
Him not conceding the election when it was clear as day.
And we don't have enforcement measures.
Quite the opposite of not conceding.
Exactly. Like, we don't have the measures in there to force people to do these sort of things that have just become accepted norms. So he knew that there was no there were no repercussions for the actions based off of the design, basically, of the system. So he pushed the envelope.
Yeah.
Right? And he punted. He burned the envelope in a lot of cases. And so now everyone else that are following in his footsteps are doing, they're doing the same thing. Well, there's nothing to say that I can't do this. What rule is there that says I can't scream in her mailbox? What rule is there that says I can't follow her and scream like a psychopath?
I'm going to speak my mind, and I'm a straight shooter.
First Amendment rights, right? Yep. And you can't censor me, and blah, 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 blah. So That's what they're doing as a whole, right? And then whether it's being dishonest or you know, just saying shit that we know, like, there's
again, embarrassing and idiotic, but
right, but there's nothing to say that they can't
right,
do it,
right?
And it's, and they know that it's driving people who don't agree with them crazy, right? But they also know that the people who do agree with them absolutely love it, right?
Sure.
Because you don't need to be, you don't need a certain level of intelligence to do it. You don't need an expertise. You don't need you don't need experience in anything. Like, anybody can do what the Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, she's got no talent capabilities. She's not extra smart, right? Like, she's just running around being a high school asshole, right? And but she's in Congress, and
now she's having tantric sex and doing CrossFit.
Those two things I commend her for.
I do as well.
Those are not wrong. Good for
one more than the other.
But yeah, I mean, and that, and the problem is, right? How do we stop it? Right? How do we? And the only way to stop it is, like, people have got to decide that they're no longer going to accept that level of behavior, and that they demand that these people get voted out, and they do it in a fashion. But the problem is, it can't just be the black community. It can't just be a bunch of annoying, obnoxious, hipster, progressive, socialist millennials, right? Like, we need adults, right? Like, we need middle-aged white people, blue-collar, white-collar, to wake the fuck up and say, yeah, this is not normal or sane or smart. We can't continue down this path. We had our fun. Now it's time to grow up. Now we got to move on, right? And if they don't...
And would you bet on that ever happening?
No, and the problem is, if they don't, then we're going to see our democracy continue to unravel to a point where you're going to see things that are happening in other countries happening here on a much bigger scale and worse, right? To then all your rules and all the shit that you guys are relying on, all of a sudden that shit goes away. And then it's every man for himself. A lot of you motherfuckers aren't prepared.
I wish I could say that you were being hyperbolic and over the top, but I can't.
I'm not.
No, you're not. It's all right. Yeah, you're not. Right. It's what I come across, and this is, you know, anecdotal, but what I come across in just my day-to-day interactions with people, you know, as a white guy with a shaved head and a goatee, there are people who will chum up to me and say shit, just assuming based on my look that I'm on board with what they're saying. You know, can you believe they stole this election? And I'm like, I don't think that's what happened. Oh, you need to know the truth. You can't get it from the mainstream media. That's run by the Jews. Like, holy fuck, dude. I'm at an Irish pub a mile from here having a beer watching an Indians game. Let's not even get into the... Yeah. All right. And like, I'm watching baseball. Leave me the fuck alone. Right. But you want to unify me with your... I mean, it's... it. And what I've described a second ago has happened a handful of times,
mm-hmm,
without me seeking it. And if you listen to the show, you know that's not my bag.
Yep.
But yet, it's there. And, you know, it's... I am very concerned. And then, by the way, this is in Cleveland, which is generally considered to be a blue-collar, you know, a blue-dog Democrat-leaning part of the state.
Yeah, but that whole narrative is dead, right? The whole blue-collar, blue-dog, blue-Democrat, labor union, all that stuff is dead. Long gone, right? Like, the unions don't give a fuck about Democrats anymore, right? Like, I mean, other than maybe the teachers' union. Right, I mean the rest. I mean the police.
Certainly, the police union does not. The police teamsters,
union,
I don't
the fire
know.
Union, like the Teamsters. Please, right? Like, I mean, one, who cares? Two, you know, like they. I think they shifted very far towards Trump, unless there was. I don't see how they wouldn't. You know, the auto union is going to be, you know, like
mixed. I mean, they probably started off pro-Trump. I'm guessing they probably lost some of their. When the shit that went down in Lordstown, Ohio, which you know more about than the average citizen,
yes.
I mean, Trump kissed their ass, told them he was going to be there for them, and then left them hanging.
Left them high and dry.
And but I got to imagine there's people out there who...
Not enough.
Not enough?
Right. Not enough. They think it's the Democrats' fault.
I'm not going to lecture you on the politics of Youngstown.
Listen, so. They literally are blaming everyone... Like, it's everyone except Trump's fault, right? And look, I don't necessarily think that it was Trump's fault. Like, he is, like, I mean, he built it up like he was going to be...
He overpromised and underdelivered.
Right. I mean, it's GM's fault for not speaking up and saying, look, it doesn't matter what he said. Like, what GM should have done is just said, it doesn't matter what Trump says. This is what we're doing, right? Period. They just decided to let him talk And then they snatch the rug out from underneath people after the fact. Now, they've come back, and there's another plant there, and there's another company there.
Right.
The company doesn't have a product, and the company doesn't make money, and I don't know how many employees they have, but that's a different conversation.
That is a different conversation. But I threw that example out there because it is a perfect
example. Yeah, it is. Right? But, I mean, if people don't look at Trump, they don't, like, Trump isn't the villain there, General Motors is, which is right.
Yeah, that's not, that
right?
is not
I mean,
completely unfair.
It's true, and look... And I know General Motors knew, and the reason why I know is my father worked for General Motors, right? So they put him on a temporary assignment in St. Louis, and he was supposed to go back to Lordstown. It was just like, hey, we need you to get St. Louis up and running and get them in shape. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually, we're going to shut down Lordstown, so we just need you to stay in St. Louis, right? And so my dad's like, okay, well, I feel like I don't have a choice because where the fuck else am I going to go? And they're
right.
like, right, so here's some more money. Enjoy.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, and he, look, I mean, he's made the most of it, but don't think that that's not in the back of his head that, you know, that's kind of shitty, right?
to say the least.
So he's not like, it's not about Trump. That's just a General Motors decision. Trump just stuck his foot in his mouth, you know, propping these people up. And the GM's like, say what you want, but we're going to do whatever the fuck we
and
want.
Steve, one of the biggest things that I don't think it's said enough is that when you can say whatever the fuck you want in the moment
with
and
no accountability, right. no repercussions. And that's where we're at, not only on a political level, but now even as it comes to COVID, and we'll just jump into that, right? There have been people out there spouting all sorts of nonsense about COVID, about the vaccine, about wearing masks, right? Like, I mean, like there have been, like there's a guy in my gym who... And I think I've said this before on the show, but if you listen to what he believes is going on and what's behind all this, it is literally the plot from fucking G.I. Joe, the cartoon from when we were kids.
You have said this, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, and the reason why
doesn't
I'm saying
it... Doesn't make it wrong.
Because it literally is, right? Like, and he's got, like, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and the Rothschilds basically as, like... Cobra Commander and like the and
I'm trying to remember the names of the Cobra Commander and
Serpentor. Right, like, and all those guys, like that, like that's who Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos are, right? Because they're the main ones behind this, and it's interesting that people bring Jeff Bezos into this, but okay, fine, right? Like, so they're working under the Rothschilds, who want to control everyone, and what they're trying to do is thin the population, but also have control over the population. So how they're manipulating the population is through currency and money, right? So they're giving everybody money, but then they're giving everybody the vaccine to make them sterile, right? Even though that the vaccine primarily and mostly is going to people over the age of 65 who aren't pumping out a ton of kids.
If the vaccine made me sterile, I would consider that a bonus, but that's just me.
Right. I mean, and like, I'm already sterile, so like, okay, fine,
by choice.
But it's making people sterile. It's also tracking you, right? Your phone be damned, your car be damned, every computer device that you have in your house be damned. But this vaccine is tracking you, making you sterile. And then because they're giving people $300 a week, that's controlling them, right? Like, so then now they're going to be able to manipulate these people to do what they haven't said specifically, but, right? Like, it's just like, well, they're controlling you. Well, what are they going to, what are they going to make me do, right?
They want to know where you are.
Right.
They already do
okay,
by
but,
your car.
Well, right. But like, so they want to know where I am and they want to control me to do what? Where? Right, and just like, yeah, that's the thing. That's it. You got it. Like, I feel like we're missing major pieces to this.
And we are missing this. There are some
parts. But it's just like, I mean, it's crazy. And like, if you are willing to sit there for, I think you need probably about 2 hours to hear it all out. It's exhausting. It's highly entertaining. And you want to get it to the guys at South Park. So that they can
gotten it though.
So they can bring it to full reality. But I mean, it's just insane. So anyway,
staying on the on COVID and the vaccine. So the CDC is loosening restrictions,
yes.
Which is based on numbers and data and science, something that got made up by the liberal media. but what's hilarious to me? So there's actually two things I want to talk about. What's hilarious to me is. The vaccine in Ohio, our Republican governor, who has tried to be logical. But I don't think he's handled things perfectly by any means.
No.
But I think he's tried to do the right thing. Some good decisions, some bad ones. But now he's announcing that if you get the vaccine, you will be entered into one of five $1 million lottery drawings. So he's basically saying, hey, if you play Keno and lose money, why not play Keno for much bigger stakes for free? Because your odds of actually making money in the long run at Keno versus winning a lottery are not too different.
Everybody understands. But
but that's weird, Steve. $1 million a week for 5 weeks if you get vaccinated. I think they're calling it the Vaccino. I think that's hilarious.
I mean, I think it's I think it's ridiculous. It's not going to
get idiocracy.
People. It is, but I mean, I say that, but then if I win it, like,
I'm well, you're in. You're a registered voter.
I know
voter
I'm registered. And you're I'm a registered voter and I'm vaccinated, so I'm not if I win it, I'm not giving it back. It's insane, but if it works, it works. But it's not going to work, right? Like, because here's the deal. We're at a point now where I think we're at about 35% of our population is vaccinated in the U.S., right? And they say that we need 70% vaccinated to get the herd immunity. The reality is, if you do it based off of vaccinations, you're not going to get the herd immunity. And you're not going to get 70% vaccinated because if you're not vaccinated by now, you've decided that you don't want it. You don't believe in it, whether you believe in some crazy conspiracy theory. You feel that it's just not safe because there hasn't been enough time. You're too paranoid. You can't decipher for yourself based off everything you've heard. You don't know whether it's safe or not. So you'd rather take your chances with the coronavirus than get vaccinated, right? That's just where we're at. And then most of those same people also don't want to wear a mask because masks are tyranny, right? And it's the government raining down on them and violating their rights, so they need more guns because the government is coming for them. Those people, you're not going to move. You're not. I'm sorry, right? Like, there's no point in trying. They're not. No, they don't give a fuck about this stupid $1 million lottery. They don't give a fuck about.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Okay, you don't have to agree, but I'm right. I am. So these people, you're not going to move them. You're just not. Like, these people firmly believe that the vaccine is either going to make them sterile, is either tracking them, or is going to give them cancer, or is going to kill them. Right? Like, that's what they believe. You're not going to convince them.
Those people won't move. I think there's a lot of people who, in their heart of hearts, know it's safe, but they don't want to be, you know,
but playing.
Those people will say, for $1 million...
The people who, in their heart of hearts, know that the vaccine is fine. And I don't know if anyone who can say that, right? I mean, like, this is, they did push this out rather quickly.
True.
Could something happen with the vaccine? Sure, right? I mean, like, but chances are it's going to be a small percentage like anything else. But, right, and if one person dies from it, then they're just going to be like, see, I told you. But I think for the most part, if you have people who are saying that they don't know if it's safe and they don't want to take it and they're saying the right things in their right political group, but in the heart of hearts, they feel like, well, it's probably safe. It's not that big of a deal. And I really don't want COVID because they know someone who died from it, who had it, and it was fucking brutal. Then those people have probably already gotten it. They're just not telling anybody. So I think we're at a point where the people who are going to get it have it.
But if they got it and don't tell anybody, they're still in the lottery.
Okay,
but they're still adding to the herd immunity.
Okay, but I think that's a small percentage of people. And I think we know, whether they may not tell anybody, but we know, in terms of tracking, we know who's got it, right?
Correct.
So I think we're just at a point where the people who are going to get the vaccine have it. You're not going to be able to convince them, and you cannot force them. I don't give a fuck what you think about personal safety and all the people saying, well, how do I know it's safe? And you need to make me feel safe, so you need to get, fuck you. I actually don't, right? Like, now, if you're that fucking worried about it at this point, wear a mask, keep your social distancing, and don't leave your house. Right, like, I'm kind of tired of those. No, I'm not kind. I am absolutely tired of those people who are saying that I need to do something to make them feel better. Nah, bitch, I don't actually need to do shit. Right, like, I don't. Like, you're not gonna tell me what I need to do. Not you over there, Karen, or Kyle, or anybody. No, I'm going to do what I feel I need to do for me. Also, government, you're not going to force me to take this thing that you guys rushed out. Right, I'll take it because I think it's fine, but you're not gonna force me to do it. Right, and once you go down that road of forcing people to do it, you have to take it because the government says so. That's problematic.
I have a problem with that.
Right, like that's extremely problematic. And so
it is.
So,
although I wish people could say, "Oh, I know, I'm reading science, and science tells me this is a good idea." I wish that was the case.
I wish that was the case.
Wish in one hand, shit in the other. I get
but
it.
But here's the problem. You literally have people who couldn't pass a 200-level chemistry course at fucking community college sitting there trying to explain why the vaccine isn't safe. Like, you can't fucking add, and you're the one who's going to tell me whether a vaccine is safe? I got guys in my gym. Guys in my gym who I know for a fact inject fucking testosterone made in some dude's fucking dirty-ass basement on a week's, multiple times a week. Right? Like, they're just, shoot this into my, and look how strong I am.
Make me strong.
Right? But they won't take a fucking vaccine. But, oh, that's not safe. What about the side effects? Like, are you fucking kidding me? So you are going to be the person who tell me if a vaccine is safe or not, even though you're injecting God knows what into your body. Right? You have the abscess the size of a fucking softball on your hip because it got infected, but you're the one who's going to tell me that a vaccine isn't safe. Child, please. So those are the people that we're dealing with. And honestly, fuck them. If you don't want to take it, don't fucking take it. And if you get COVID and you don't have insurance, you can take your GoFundMe and shove it up your fucking ass. That's what I feel about it. Because I've had that. There was a guy at our gym who all he did was talk shit about, oh, fuck this vaccine and fuck COVID and it's fake and I'm not wearing a mask, blah, blah, blah. Got it. His ass is in the hospital. I don't know if he's going to make it. I don't give a fuck.
Wow.
They got a gun. They got a GoFundMe for him. And I literally, I didn't donate a fucking dollar and I said, go fuck yourself. Fuck off. Right? But you want me to,
that's
like,
why? First of all, I would not donate. I'm with you on that.
Like, there are a lot of
causes ahead of me.
Right. Like, now look, if you're not an asshole about this whole thing and you don't have insurance and you get it, I will do what I can, right? Like, because I'm an empathetic person, but you lose me when you are, oh, this thing is, the COVID's not real, I'm not getting a vaccine, I'm not wearing a mask, the government can't control me, if you are, you're a sheep, and blah, 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 and then you get it, it's like, I need help. Well, bitch, you could have helped yourself a lot of different ways. Get the fuck out of here.
You're the grasshopper in the end, right? Now you're knocking on the door, it's wintertime, and we're going, you know, fuck you.
I lose zero sleep over it.
I don't blame you for that. And I'm amazed that we're still having this conversation of whether or not the fucking thing is real. Like, you know, what's going on in India.
How can you be, though? We just talked about these people.
I know.
Right? Like, a lot of this goes back to Trump. What did Trump say? It's going to magically disappear.
With the heat in the spring.
Right? It's going to magically, like, the president of the United States.
It's going to go away on November 4th.
Said it was going to disappear. Was it going to be, like, once the election, it's going to disappear.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. All right. I want to talk real quick about the taking away the $300 unemployment benefit in Ohio.
Yeah.
Because that's a really funny one for me to think about because I know a lot of people in the service industry.
Yep.
And if you can, if $300 a month is literally the difference between I can get by and not work, then I don't blame them for not wanting to work. I'm not saying it's cool. Look, I've worked
but in a lot of people. The issue with the people in the service industry is, like, look, if that's your line of work, like, the service industry isn't back yet, right? Like, it's starting to come back in Ohio because now that because of the but literally this week, right? Like, this is one of the first weeks where I've seen bars and restaurants really full. Maybe last week, right? But to this point, like, if you were in the service industry, there weren't enough shifts for bartenders to work. Right, like, I mean, there weren't enough shifts for waitresses and servers to work and make any money, right? I mean, like, so
the last part being the key. Like, you want me to come back and do this shitty job with sub-minimum wage earnings, counting on tips, and there's no one out to give me those tips.
Right.
What the fuck? I'm going to bust my humps. Maybe not bust my hump, but I'm going to sit in a bar.
I've worked in the service industry for many years as a bartender, as a bouncer. I've cooked. I've done every job there is in the restaurant service industry. You bust your ass doing the job, right? Like, now listen, I'll give a lot of people shit because they get by doing the bare minimum. But even doing the bare minimum behind a busy bar, you're still working, right?
Sure.
Like, it's still hell physically. You got to deal with all sorts of patrons and people are assholes. Like, we've met us and you got to deal with people like us on a regular basis and a lot worse.
It's like, we're not bad by the general standards.
I mean, so, you know, with that, I think that it's not so easy as take the $300 away and you'll force people back to work and all the problems are solved, right? Like, I mean,
completely
because that's not how this is going to work. People think that this is going to work, but, like, look, especially, like, I think doing it, if you want to do it once school is out, okay, maybe, right? But a big issue for a lot of people is, like, some schools are still virtual or still have these really weird schedules. I know at a lot of places in Michigan that I got a friend who lives there, and they're on they're only full-time school a couple days a week. They do virtual for part of the time. Like, they don't have much of a say in it, right? Like, you just, they tell you when your kid can go to school, when they can't. It's not full-time. The kids are only there a few hours a day. Like, if you don't work from home, right, and you got a job where you got to be somewhere, whether it's a blue-collar job in the trades or you're in the service industry or you work in a hospital or something like that, these school schedules are seriously fucking with people in terms of childcare. And childcare is expensive. And not only is childcare is never not expensive, but the premium for it has gone up because of the pandemic. Right, because sure. These babysitters and these nannies, they know that they can charge more, and there's a greater risk involved in terms of COVID. Right, like, I mean, whether you think it's real or not, it is real, and for some people, it is it's brutal. Right, like, so there are a lot of people out there trying to avoid to get it because they don't want to fall into the "this thing really fucks with me" category, and that goes to nannies and caregivers and everything else. Sure. So they're charging more. This shit is expensive. It was costing me $800 a month for childcare alone, and my daughter goes to public school.
Right.
$800 a month that I didn't fucking budget for, right? And I'm sorry, I'm not independently wealthy. I don't make $500,000 a year where that's nothing. Like, $800 a month is legit, right? Like, so, and that's for me, and I can afford it. Okay, fine, no problem. But there's a lot of people
who can't. You can afford it, but it impacts you.
Right, but it impacted, right? Like, I mean, there was other stuff that I definitely could have used that money on that I wanted to use it on, but I couldn't because I had to go to work.
Right. Right?
I didn't have an option to work from home. You know, like, I mean, like, so I didn't have a choice, but fortunately I could afford to do it. But a lot of people, if you're making $25,000, $30,000, even if you're making $40,000 a year, if you got to pay $800 a month out of when you're making $40,000
a
year,
that's $9,600 a year. That's a quarter of your income.
Right. I mean, like, so it it's not so simple as, we'll just take this money away and everybody will go back to work. Fine, they're going back to work, but now are they making less money than they were in unemployment? What is their childcare situation? Do these people even have benefits? So if they're working for you and you're paying them $8 a fucking hour to work 30 hours a week, so you don't have to give them benefits, and they actually do get COVID, then what do? Are you doing anything for them? Do you have money tucked away so that person can survive when they can't work because they have COVID and they catch this thing? Oh, you don't have an answer for that. Oh, but you demand that they go back to work and you demand that they lose this $300.
And don't make me wear a mask while they're doing it.
Goddamn, don't make them wear a mask because then, again, tyranny, right? Like, it's like,
I'm still seeing shit on cars about, you know, masks are tyranny. And I'm like, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
And you'll
it's,
never.
I'll acknowledge, it's not fun. But it's also not that big a deal.
It's annoying. It's not that big of a deal. They're like, see, this is what they can make you do. Like, look, you lose me with the tyranny and the mask. You lose me 100% because I guarantee you, if you're telling me that masks are tyranny, I know for a fact that you've been silent about what the police have been doing in the hood forever. You have been absolutely silent on people getting shot unarmed. You've been absolutely silent about government coming in and kicking people's doors in with no knock warrants, going in the wrong house, terrifying grandmothers, killing people, innocent people, because they were scared out of their minds because you kicked their door in because you were at the wrong house. And don't tell me that doesn't happen that often, because, bitch, I got a list. Right, I got a long list. It actually happens way more often and frequent than you think, of the police going to the wrong house over some bullshit because they had a confidential informant who wasn't so fucking reliable. Right, like the thing. Now, does someone die every time? No. But how many times does it take for a police officer to kick in your door, scare the shit out of you, right, for the wrong reason, for no reason, to give you a wary eye about the police and government overreach? Right, I'm pretty sure it's just once. Right, have someone kick in your door and it'd be the wrong door just one time, and they scare the shit out of you and put a gun in your face, and that's not gonna have a you don't that's not tyranny, but you putting a fucking paper mask on your face, well that's tyranny. Right, get the fuck out of here. Right.
And some of those kicking doors are, we heard you've got weed. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
I mean, we're gonna run out of time and we're gonna miss out on a chance to talk about three things I really want to talk about. Starting with my boy Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz.
Let's talk about it now.
So I've got a bunch of thoughts on this. One of them is that the Young Turks and CNNs have been saying that, you know, the stranglehold is coming in on this guy. Nothing's happened yet. And I'm not sure it's going to. Now, if it does, fuck him. Matt Gaetz is like, if you were going to draw my Bond villain of douchebaggery, Matt Gaetz would be it. And if he goes down, I would love it. But this is a real good chance for the media to get burned with, we've been talking up for a month now, how this piece of shit's going down.
Well, hold on, hold on. You're putting carts before horses and apples and everything else.
Okay.
Look, first of all, the person that's closely tied to him, where a lot of this is coming out, Joel Greenberg is probably going to accept a plea deal, and it's not going to be a good one.
I actually think it happened today.
Right. So he is going to plead guilty to some charges, including trafficking, and one of those charges involves trafficking sex with a minor.
Yes.
Right? Trafficking and or sex with a minor, right? Like, I'm not exactly sure how the charges are lining up, but I know there's a lot of them, and I know that they involve sex trafficking, I know they involve a minor, and I know that they involve sex, and I know that he is pleading guilty to them.
Yes.
Right? We also know that there is a paper trail connecting Matt Gaetz directly to this. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they know who the girl who at the time was 17, they know who she was. This is a federal case, so the whole people arguing in Florida, the age of consent, it doesn't matter. It's a federal case. The age of consent is 18. She was under that, so...
And she flew from Florida to D.C.
Right. Like, so we've got issues there. So we know who she is. So if that girl is willing to testify, Matt Gaetz has a very real problem, and the girl is young, and if she is willing to testify, which it may be, then the whole idea that nothing's going to happen to him is way out the window, right? And so, like, and listen, this is the feds, right, and but what I'm saying is, like, I've been a part of federal prosecutors putting together a case, and they're slow, and they are methodical, and they will look at every aspect of this case from top to bottom, because their batting percentage is about 99%. They don't miss, right? And the reason is because they take every possible scenario, good, bad, or in between, and they run it, you know, thousands of times before they bring the charges, before the indictment is brought, right? Like, so by the time you get a federal indictment, right, you're going down, right? Like, you are going down. The question is just how bad. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, when you're willing to accept the fact that you're going down, and if you plead early, then it may not be so bad, right? If you drag it out, it's going to be worse. And if you go to trial and you get cooked at trial, well, you just get worst case scenario. So the question for Matt Gaetz is, what does Greenberg say once he pleads? And then it comes down to the government bringing charges based off of what Greenberg says and the evidence that they have, and then when does he plead, right? Because all this bluster, because what'll happen is, if he gets indicted, then the Republicans bail on him. Like, they already have. They're just like, Matt, who?
Have they?
Yeah, I mean, like, they haven't.
Marjorie Taylor Greene
is They not. Haven't, okay, but fine. Well, I mean, what does she have? But as a most part, for the party, they're not talking
They're avoiding him, sure.
Right? Like, they basically, he doesn't exist to them. They haven't turned on him yet, but they've just basically turned him off, right? In their mind, he doesn't exist. Once he gets indicted, they turn on him. He's got to go. He can't be, that's not what we are. He doesn't represent what he's been indicted, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
And I hope, Steve,
I mean, they'll say due process until they die,
I hope that happens. I think, again, Matt Gaetz, if I was drawing up a douchebag caricature, it would not look very different from him at all.
If you're bringing a case, I mean, he's still a U.S. congressman,
right?
So you can't walk in just with your dick out, whipping it around, saying "We got you, we got you, we got you." Like, it has to be, like, if you're going to take out a congressman, when it comes to federal crimes, you got to be deadly precise, right? Like, so they have to do everything by the book, cross all the T's and dot all the I's, because they recognize the amount of attention that this would bring if they do it, so they can't fuck it up. So they're not going to go on a timetable that, on our timetable.
And I'm not worried about the timetable. I'm just worried about if he's been playing the whole "this is a witch hunt, it's bullshit" card the whole time. I mean, based on what I've read and heard, he sounds verifiably guilty as fuck. But if he spits the hook, he's going to be able to say, "I told you all along, this was a witch hunt, just like Trump in Russia."
What I would say is, he doesn't wield the power that Trump did. right? As much as obnoxious and ridiculous, he doesn't wield the power. He doesn't have the level of protection that Trump had.
True.
And DOJ is, they're going on their timetable. They're going based off of what they know. So what the first thing that they got to do is they got to get Greenberg wrapped up, right? Get him wrapped up. Get him, get his plea signed, sealed, and delivered. Get him sentenced. Get him in jail. Then they come knocking for him, right? And they probably give him a chance. They say, look, you're a congressman, so we can play this nice, right? We don't have to make this a big spectacle. One, you need to resign. You need to step down. We'll bring the lightest charges that we can, but we have to charge you.
And we have to find out what you know.
And I mean, we need to know.
And you said this a couple weeks ago. Like, he may be in the public spotlight. He's the biggest fish.
Yes.
But in the criminal investigation, he's probably not.
I don't think that he's the... I think he's the biggest fish that we know. But I think that when you're talking about trafficking in other girls and the money that they're talking about, I just think that there's more at play than Matt Gaetz. But Matt Gaetz can't be allowed to skate just because he's a congressman. And the DOJ, this DOJ, right?
Right.
With Merrick Garland at the helm, he don't get a pass, right?
And this started under Barr,
right? And Bill Barr clearly wasn't going to give him a pass if he let the investigation kick off the way that it did. So like, look, there's not a lot protecting him, right? Like, so the idea that he's going to skate, I think he's going to go. I think he's going to go down. I think the chances of him skating are slim.
I would love to see him
go down. You know, I mean, like...
I'm just worried that they're going to swing and miss.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of those things where that's kind of the weatherman, it's going to rain at some point, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's enough to say that, look, this guy is going to get burned. Now, look, if there's some exculpatory piece of evidence that we don't know about that exists, okay, maybe. Right, but I think the chances of that are pretty small, right? Like, he's just not that smart. Right? Like, if you can't cover your tracks on fucking Venmo.
If you're walking around the floor of Congress showing naked pictures of the chick you did last night.
Yeah, I just don't think that this guy is a mastermind who was able to cover his track, right? Like, he couldn't cover his tracks on Venmo, but also the number of people who didn't realize that you could be private on Venmo is terrifying, right? It took me all of an hour of having the app to figure that out. So the fact that you motherfuckers are just downloading apps and just willy-nilly throwing out who you're exchanging money with is fucking wild to me. But
okay. I don't have Venmo yet. We fought about this. All right. Two other things I really want to talk about. So four of the other cops involved in the death of Derek Floyd. Mm-mm. George Floyd. Jeez, I knew a guy named Derek Floyd. George Floyd have been indicted on federal charges. And what I'm about to say might sound weird, but them being prosecuted in terms of changing behaviors might be more important than Chauvin being convicted. And I say that because if you want to change the way officers act, what Chauvin did, if that was not convictable, nothing is. And we just say, fuck it. Like, the world is what it is, and I'm glad I'm on the downside. But if these guys face consequences for their lack of stopping things, then the next time a cop is in a situation where they're watching someone act like Chauvin, they are going to say, I'm not going down because of you, you piece of shit. Knock that off, because every one of them should have done that.
Yeah.
And it's real easy for me to say that, but it's also easy to say it because it's fucking right.
Right.
And if those guys walk, then that won't change the mindset of, you know...
I agree with you. I think that them, I agree full hearted that them just standing there and saying, we didn't actually kill him. So, right, like, you're a cop though. You have a gun and a badge. You have an extra layer of responsibility, whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, you shouldn't have taken the job, but you did. And then when you were put in a position where you needed to make a decision versus right and wrong, you chose nothing, which was wrong. Therefore, you need to be punished for it.
Yeah.
Right? And cops, you can get mad if you're an ex-cop. Fuck that. That's not the law. I don't care. I don't care. Here's the deal. You work for me, right? Mr. Officer, you work for me whether you like it or not. Right, and you can use, I report to, nah, bitch, you work for me. You know why? Because my tax dollars pay your fucking salary. Period, the end, full stop. Right, and the group of us, a majority of us, who pay your salary have decided that your behavior is unacceptable. So what happens is you're going to be held accountable for this. Right, so now, in the future, people who act like you, they know better. You don't like it?
Hal, we did nothing wrong.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We should have settled for Willie.
Exactly.
Few Good
exactly.
Men reference. Few Good Men,
which is a great, great point in that movie, and it's a great movie, one of my favorites with Tom Cruise. But I like most of Tom Cruise's movies, except for Vanilla Sky. But... But that I mean, like that's like
but, and, right,
so, right. And so, there's and there are police officers I've had this argument with. They're like, "How dare you?" Blah blah blah. Like because you work for me, right? I live in this city. You are a you work for this city. My taxes pay your fucking salary, and a majority of us who pay your salary believe that that type of behavior is unacceptable. So therefore, we, your bosses, are changing how you are supposed to behave. If you don't like it, go find another job doing something else. Go pour concrete. I need a patio. You can help me there. That'll be your first job. If you don't like it, then move the fuck on.
I know the history
right?
of the patio.
Or do are. The job right.
But
right?
But
and that's
but,
it.
But also, just from a, even if I'm trying to, within the culture of, you know, you don't talk out against other cops, you don't disagree with other cops.
But I think like, that's, I think that attitude, we saw that change though, because we saw multiple cops come out and say what he did
true,
was wrong
true,
during that
true.
Right?
Which but these guys being held accountable is going to make the next guy yes. say, I'm not going to just go.
Right, this is the yeah. next level of accountability, yes. which I think is important.
Yes. I think it's huge.
Right? And
it's absolutely huge.
And if you see that, not only other police officers coming out and saying, yeah, what, like, in real time, when this shit is happening, stopping these guys. But then when the officers, like, either can't stop the police officer, like kind of what happened in Chicago with Laquan McDonald,
right?
Where the cop just,
started
like,
shooting.
Right, like, he just starts shooting. Like, I mean, like, your only option at that point is to basically shoot the guy that's shooting.
Which is probably not,
which
that's
is
too
not,
much to ask.
Right, I mean, that is too much to ask. But I think then them testifying and saying, look, I didn't shoot because, you know.
It wasn't justified.
It wasn't justified, and what he did was wrong. That's important, right? But
yep.
then this is another
next level,
and,
that,
of,
and it needs to happen,
right? Like I fully agree. And if you're a cop and you disagree, I'm sorry, but
I'm not.
Things are changing,
I'm not.
Right? Like I'm sorry that your feelings are hurt, but this is the evolution of your job. Your job started loose, and now we're getting tight. That's what everybody has to go through.
And
if you don't like the oversight, sorry, that's life. It's
and,
not
and,
fair.
In your job, you oversee construction things, and if you and I oversee manufacturing and the pharmaceutical industry. And if you see something that is going to hurt or kill other people, and you go, well, I didn't sign for that. Now, I knew it was happening,
right.
but I was like, eh, you know, it's my name isn't on that piece of paper. Fuck it. That's not okay. One thing I want to hit on real quick, because this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Three women in California threw a pig's head and pig's blood on a house owned by someone who testified for Derek Chauvin. The guy who lived there is gone. The guy who testified is gone. He's not been there for years. So it's like, this house was once occupied by this person, so we're going to vandalize it with pig's blood and a pig's head. Because we want to show we're part of the cause? I don't know. Just that is the dumbest attempt at protest I've ever seen. And it was three women involved. They've all been identified. They've identified that they did it because this property was once owned by someone who testified defending Derek Chauvin. And we've reached a new level of dumb. And I'm going to wrap it up on that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And that's one of those things where... You know, the people that are, you know, all cops are bad and anti-police and all, and then they do dumb shit like this. Like, you're not
hurting. You're
like,
hurting.
You're not, like, right? Like, I mean, that, like, what have you done? Like, the people who live there, now they have to fucking deal with that, right? Like, you probably
can
got
you
yourself.
Can you imagine that?
No.
You're at home,
yeah,
like, the former owner of your house did this, so I'm going to graffiti your house. Like.
Right. Like,
I'm
how
responsible
does that make
for that.
It, right. Like, how does that make it? What was I not supposed to buy the house? Because I didn't know the person who lived there.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the point of having these.
A realtor, right?
A realtor and having a buffer between, right? It just. It's
a level
ridiculous.
Of dumb that needs
yeah.
to be called out. And this is the left wing level of dumb. On that note, we are done. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We're done. Good to be back in Cleveland for both of us again. Good luck in your meet next week. We'll talk before.
Thanks.